1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 3, and I just want to read one verse of scripture there. John chapter 3 and verse 3. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, cannot see the kingdom of God. Now I want you to compare that to verse 50 of 1 Corinthians 15. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. You may be seated. I would like to preach to you this morning for a few minutes on being fitted for heaven. Being fitted for heaven. No one living on the earth, not even Christians, could live eternally in heaven without a new body, a new kind of body. This body that we are living in right now is built for conditions on earth. It's built to handle the temperatures of earth, the cycles of night and day, the oxygen and air quality on the earth. It's built to take in survival and water and food. So this body that we live in is conditioned by God for this earth. It's fitted for living on this earth. We're not fitted for living on the moon. That's the reason why that when men go to the moon, they have to take with them earth's environment. In other words, they couldn't survive on that moon without a spaceship, a space suit on it. And in that space suit, you've got a duplication of the temperature of Earth and duplication of Earth's air quality, oxygen, so that in order to survive, they have to artificially duplicate the environment of Earth and take with them food and water from the Earth, because these bodies are not fitted for living on the moon. God made these bodies for the Earth.
Right.
And for that same reason, heaven being a new environment, too wonderful for mortal bodies. Hallelujah. We've got to have a change from these mortal bodies to immortal bodies in order to live in heaven.
Right.
For the Bible said in my text that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We've got to have a change. We could not survive the shock of heaven's splendor. You know, the appearance of one angel caused the soldiers at the tomb of Christ to fall down as if dead.
Right.
And heaven is full of angels. Hallelujah. And the Bible teaches us that Paul got a glimpse, just a glimpse, of the glorified Christ on the Damascus Road, and it blinded him. He was blind for 3 days, but he would have been blind the rest of his life if God had not opened desires. And when we get to heaven, we'll be basking in the glory of the Son of God. And I'm telling you, these bodies could not handle heaven. And God has got to give us a brand new body in order to handle the glories of heaven. Paul said, I knew a man. Some think it was Paul himself. He said, I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I could not tell, caught up unto the third heaven. And he said he saw things unlawful for a man to utter. That didn't mean he heard profanity. It meant that he saw things that human speech is incapable of describing, the glories of. And these mortal bodies are incapable of surviving. He saw wonderful things human language could not describe. Hey, brother and sister. Heaven's a wonderful place. These bodies couldn't stand the shock of heaven. We've got to have brand new bodies in order to get there. So being fitted for heaven involves two things, two changes. One is a spiritual change. We must be given a new nature in order to enjoy heaven. Without that new nature, we would not enjoy heaven. I'm telling you, we would not enjoy heaven. Secondly, we're going to have a physical change. We've got to be given a new body. This spiritual change comes first. Jesus said to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This new birth involves our spirit. You remember Nicodemus asking Jesus, he said, can a man be born when he's old? How can a man enter into his mother's womb the second time and be born? Jesus answered to him and said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. In other words, the first birth involves the body. But he said, that which is born of the Spirit, God's Spirit, is spirit, that is man's spirit, so that this second birth involves our spirit. When Jesus said you must be born again, he was talking about a change happening on the inside of us. In that new birth, we are given a new nature. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So when we are born again, God gives us a new nature, the divine nature, the nature of God. He said, because that we're given this divine nature, we escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. In the world is corruption. And our old nature was corrupt. And so there was a harmony between our old nature and that which was in the world. A corrupt nature produced corruption in us. And we were drawn to sin, drawn to iniquity. And because we have that fallen nature, because we have that carnal nature, that corrupt nature in us, we're drawn to the corrupt nature, the corruption that's in the world. They're sort of like a magnet, you see. Opposite poles attract, and out there is an attraction for that carnal nature in the world. Corruption out there and corruption in here. And we're drawn to the corruption in the world by the wrong nature being in us. That's why God's got to change our nature. Hallelujah. And give us a brand new nature. I've been reading in the papers of how they're trying to tame the race car drivers, trying to get them to change their language and their vulgar hand signals that they use on each other. And they're trying to tame them by fines and docking them points and the standings and trying to refine the behavior of these athletes on the track. But the problem is, they may refine their behavior, but they cannot change their nature. It's got to be the work of God to do that. You see, only God can reach down inside of us. We may make a few changes in life. We may cut the cussing out. We may decide to do a little better on some points. But only God can reach down inside of us and give us a new nature and make us a born again child of God. Only God can do that. Holiness is the atmosphere of heaven. I'm telling you, a pig could not be happy in a sterile park. Take him out of the mud hole, scrub him up good, turn him loose, and he's headed right back to the mud hole. Because in spite of the fact that you cleaned him up, he's not happy unless he's muddy. Because that's his nature. You can take a man, fine him for doing wrong, change his manners a little bit, but my brother, give him a half a chance, he'll cuss again. Right. Praise God. You just reformed him a little while, but you haven't changed his nature. There's something inside of him that draws him to the corruption that's in the world. God tells us in his word, he's going to make a holy people. Heaven would be a miserable place for people who have the nature of hell. You hear me? I said heaven would be a miserable place for people that still have the nature of hell. That's the reason that the Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness with that which no man shall see the Lord. I'm telling you, brother, you've got to have a change of nature inside of you. God's going to save you, sanctify you, subtract from you that old nature that draws you into the world and conquer you so that you love what God loves. Hallelujah. The things that are important to God are important to you. Amen. And heaven will be the home only of those whose nature has been changed to fit the nature of where they're going. Heaven's a holy place. It's for a holy people. And God wants to take the corruption out of us and fit us for heaven, giving us an appetite for righteousness, a hunger for holiness, and a passion for purity. That's the kind of nature that belongs to heaven. Praise God. So in order to dwell in heaven, in the presence of God forever, you've got to have a spiritual change. You would not be happy in heaven with an appetite for sin. Did you hear me? I said, you would not be happy in heaven with an appetite for sin. You would be miserable in heaven, which is a holy place. Praise God. Amen. So you got to have a change of the inside of you. But then, in order to dwell in heaven, in the presence of God forever, you must have a physical change. You cannot live in heaven in these mortal bodies. At death, y'all listening to me? I've lost some of you. Come on back around. At death, we vacate these bodies, and our spirits assigned either to heaven or to hell immediately. Concerning the Christian, Paul said to be absent from the body is what?
Present with the Lord.
To be present with the Lord immediately. We are in the presence of the Lord. But he said concerning a rich man, Jesus said that he died. And where was he?
In hell.
In hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. So when we vacate these bodies, we either go to heaven or we go to hell. And we are not in a state of unconsciousness. We are in a conscious state, either a state of misery and suffering, or we are in a state of peace and pleasure at the right hand of God. So we're conscious after we vacate these bodies. The spirits of dead people, hear me now, the spirits of dead people are localized in a particular place. Heaven is a real place.
Yes, it is.
Hell is a real place. place. The dead don't float around on this earth. They don't blow around in the breezes. The dead are either in heaven or they are in hell. They don't haunt their earthly dwellings. They are localized in a particular place. They're either in heaven or they are in hell. So, the Christian understands that the heathen feared the spirits of the dead and sought to appease the spirits of the dead. But the Word of God teaches us that the spirits of the dead are in a specific place. The heathen also sought to make contact with the spirits of the dead through witches, necromancers, people who made a practice of calling up the spirits of the dead. You remember Saul attempting to do that, going to the witch of Endor to call up the spirit of Samuel. God condemned that practice. He told the Old Testament Israel, do away with all the witches. Do away with all the necromancers. Now then, in our society, we have seances in which people gather and seek to make contact with the spirits of dead people. We have Ouija boards and other occultic practices in which young people and others try to get in touch with the spirits of the dead. What happens is they wind up getting in contact with the demons of hell. And the demons of hell often pose as the spirits of dead people. And people's lives are shattered as they come in contact with the spirits of hell, the demonic spirits of hell. Many young people's lives have been ruined over what they thought was innocent play with occultic practices. And all of a sudden, the underworld was there and present. And they had made contact with hell and the demonic spirits of hell. And their lives were shattered by that contact. And they could not shake the demonic spirits that plagued them because they played around with the demonic forces of hell, brother. Y'all still with me?
Right, sir.
I'm still on my subject. I'm still talking to you about people that die. They either go to heaven or they go to hell. God has told us He condemned these occultic practices. Listen to me. It is not harmless when you go trying to deal with the spirits of the dead. That is not harmless. God condemns that practice. God would not allow those people to live in the Old Testament. And the demonic influences often result, and the people who are involved in it receive mental and spiritual harm from it. But even though at death the Christian is with the Lord, get this, he is not complete without his body. He has been made by God to be a spiritual being and a physical being. God made him that way. And he is never complete until he is reunited with his body. That's the reason that when Jesus rose again from the dead, it was not a phantom that they saw. Jesus actually brought his body out of that grave and transformed that body so that he had an immortal, glorified body. And tells us that we too shall receive a body like unto his own, immortal, incorruptible, and glorified. Hallelujah. That's the reason that my text says that the righteous dead are going to be raised from the grave, and the living saints are going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we're going to be outfitted with immortal bodies, and we're going to join the resurrected saints of the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be. with the Lord, from that point, we will be complete, satisfied, and never separated from the immediate presence of the Lord. God is going to bring our bodies out of the grave and change those bodies and make them immortal, not subject to death, not subject to sickness, not subject to pain. God's going to give us bodies that are brand new, dearie, that will never hurt again,
right.
Never have any sickness,
right.
Never know any diseases. God is going to give us brand new bodies. They'll never age again.
Right.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Never will they age. No death is not dreadful to the Christian.
That's right.
The sting has been removed.
Right.
Praise God. That's the reason that the writer said in my text, "Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory?" The sting of death is sin. But brother, when Jesus went to the cross and died on that cross and rose again from the dead to take away our sins, Jesus took away the sting of death. Now every Christian can face death with courage.
Yes.
You don't have to be afraid any longer, because Jesus took the sting out of death for us. And praise God, He bore that sting in His own body, tasted death for every man. And none of us have to be afraid of death, because Jesus has taken the sting out of death for us.
Yes.
Brother, I want you to understand something this morning. Jesus Christ has done something wonderful for you.
Yes.
If Jesus tarries, every one of us are going to face death if Jesus tarries. And someday we'll feel that the death come upon this body and usher the spirit out of the body. But we don't have to be afraid. Praise God. We can say, "Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory?" I remember reading about Bulldog Charlie Wyman's mother. Bulldog Charlie Wyman was a holiness preacher from the mountains of Kentucky. And he got saved. He was an outlaw. Killed men. Feared in the mountains. Holiness people got to praying for him, and God saved. And after God saved Bulldog Charlie Wyman, he prayed until his parents got saved. His mother got saved. He was a traveling preacher. One day he was out on the field preaching and got word that his mother was dying. He come back home, shut down his revival and come back home. Sit by the side of his dying mother. As he sat by the side of his dying mother, he said, as she was passing from this life to the next, y'all hear this, as she was passing from this life to the next, she was saying, "Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory?" Over and over again, this godly woman, "Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory?" Y'all heard about the man, the son, the honeybee got after him, stung the daddy, buzzing around, and the son goes running in terror away from the bee, and daddy comes running after him and catches him and says, "Son, wait, wait, wait. Said, you don't have to be afraid of that bee. Said, he left his stinger in me. He can't sting you because he left his stinger in me." And Jesus would like to tell all of you, if you believe on him, if you trust in Jesus Christ, he left his stinger in Jesus. You don't have to be afraid of death. He left his stinger in Christ, and the sting of death is gone for the believer. And Jesus wants you to know that he took the sting of death for you.
Right.
You don't have to be afraid of death. You can trust Jesus Christ. You can believe in the Son of God.
Hallelujah.
If you know him as your Savior, you don't have to be afraid. God has made provision for you. The sting of death is gone for the child of God.
Amen.
Jesus died. Took that sting of death and removed it for us so that we don't have to be afraid. He equips us for heaven. Gives us a new nature. promises us a new body fitted to live in the presence of God forever and forever. Sister Judy, I don't know if you've got it or not, but I'd like for you to come and sing that song if you have it, paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God for this glorious salvation that Jesus won for us. Praise God. I'm so glad, brother. I've stood by the bedside of many a dying person. Most of the time, they're so drugged up, they don't know what's happening. But when you are aware I'm facing eternity, I know my time is about it. But you know Jesus. Jesus is your Savior. Hallelujah. He's spoken peace to your heart. He's changed your nature. He's given you a holy nature, a divine nature. You don't have to be afraid. His name is in Him. Thank you.
1 to be prepared for the trumpet sound.
Oh, yes,
the foolish virgins, when they went in, the door was shut. They came later, it was too late.
Oh, God.
If anybody missed heaven, I pray.
Yes.
I pray you'll be with us and help us re-preach this message to every soul who is at the spiritual need. Give us family mercy. May God be glorified. Jesus Christ, exalted, the Holy Ghost honored. And the saints of God edified, and every soul come to Christ and have their spiritual needs met.
Yes,
through this day and through life of the day, and help us to be what you have us to be and think.